This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I believe that it was on this show that well before Ricky Pearsall was scoring touchdowns and getting a lot of targets in games, I believe it was on this show that someone once called him Juicy.
Yeah, one man, and it wasn't me.
No.
And I'm a fan, but I'd never use the word juicy like he's some sort of a succulent fruit or something. Who would do that?
It was a memorable moment courtesy of our next guest who joins us on the River Islands guest line. He is the senior producer of NFL Films. He breaks it down like no one else. He is Greg Cosell. Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
We're hanging out, man. And in fact, I think we should start off by letting you kind of go a little bit deeper into those early comments that you made about Ricky Pearsall and what we're now seeing. What do you think?
Well, I mean, all that came from watching his tape at Florida. So, you know, I liked him a lot when I watched his tape and evaluated him coming out of college. He's big. He can run. And, you know, what we talk about a lot in our matchup room is when a guy, you know, has some quickness to him, some burst, we say he's got a lot of juice. So that's kind of, you know, where that expression came from. My guess is I'm not the only one who uses it, but, you know, you see that right away. You can tell that when you watch guys on tape, the guys that have sort of that little extra quickness to them. It's not a pure speed thing. I mean, Pearsall is not a 4.3 guy, but you can just see the way he moves. And in fact, on that touchdown, there was a spot after he caught the ball where you could see that there was a little more giddy app. He just kind of put it into another gear. So he's a little juicy.
And that was a juicy play, and I want to go through that a little bit more technically,
okay,
Greg, because, you know, 21 personnel, but Saubert's in and not Kittle, and they run that little route down the middle. What did you see on tape that made that scheme so successful?
Well, they were in 21. It was a 3-by-1. They were in the pistol formation, and it was not McCaffrey on that play. It was actually Mason. It was a 4-man route concept that expanded the 3-under, 3-deep coverage, because they technically blitzed Whitehead. He ended up peeling because of Mason, but he was technically a blitzer, so it was 3-under, 3-deep coverage, and they ran a double dig. So Saubert ran a dig, and Pearsall ran a dig. And the nature of the coverage was that both those routes isolated linebackers. So obviously, who do you prefer to throw it to? You prefer to throw it to the wide receiver matched against the linebacker, and it was a backup linebacker, J.J. Russell. So basically, you know, you never know if a coach like Kyle has a feel for what the defensive call will be. You know, very often coaches have a feel for that, but it was a great call against the defense that they got, because ultimately what happened was Pearsall was isolated on his dig route against Russell, a linebacker. So Purdy, you know, with really good anticipation, hit Pearsall. He was on the outside dig, and there was run after catch.
Greg, what we were all waiting for when we were heading into this game is to see Christian McCaffrey back on the field. So what did you see in terms of how they used him and how it may have changed the 49ers' attack?
Well, they used him the way they always used him. Nothing was different. He looked good, I thought, despite the yardage totals. I thought that he looked crisp. He moved well. I thought he had some burst. And again, you saw the motions, you saw the shifting, you know, this is what they do with him. And you saw that with he and Samuel, things are different. And, you know, we talked about this, that it expands their shifting and motion offense. It expands their options in the pass game. I mean, you're not going to run the route when McCaffrey caught the 30-yard reception in the fourth quarter, which was an unbelievable play in all respects. But, you know, you're not going to see that with Garendo or Mason. So, you know, right there, you're seeing something that is different because McCaffrey's on the field.
And let's go to that route because they're down four at that point, and it's, again, 21 personnel, and it's a little bit of a wheel route. The throw from Brock and the route itself, what did you see on tape that made that such a win?
Well, that was just one of those special plays, which, you know, you don't know that when the play starts because he's running kind of a wheel route, as you said. And normally on a wheel, the way he ran it, you're giving the quarterback a vertical indicator. So he knows when you're going to take it vertical. But Purdy, because of pressure, inside pressure, couldn't wait for the indicator, and he just had to throw it up. And it obviously turned out to be a perfect throw that McCaffrey caught. And I know McCaffrey was pissed that, you know, when he cut inside, he didn't score. But it was just one of those special plays because, you know, all Purdy could do in response to the pressure was throw it up. And it turned out to be placed beautifully.
NFL Films, Greg Cosell with us as he is every single week here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, speaking to what you just brought up, the pressure. Because I'm not, you know, I'm not like you, Greg. I'm not one of these tape people. I need to know what's going on here because I'm hearing from fans a lot. It looks like the offensive line or the running backs, whoever, whatever the responsibilities are, Brock Purdy too often is dealing with very quick pressure or missed blocks or missed assignments. Is that accurate or what do you see right now with their line in general?
Yeah, I would say it's been a combination of the fact that the there's been a little more pressure this year. You'd have to know all their protection calls to know exactly who makes mistakes. But there's been a little more pressure, and I think that Purdy has also responded to what is, by NFL standards, not necessarily pressure by leaving the pocket at times too early. And I thought in this game he didn't really do that as much. I thought he settled in this game pretty well. That could also be a function of just feeling better about everything because McCaffrey's back. So I don't know. I don't know what's in Purdy's head. But, yeah, there's probably been at times this year a little more pressure that Purdy has responded to. Ideally, that goes away. You know, look, even when they're playing at their best, the fact is that the right tackle, McKivitz, is not great in one-on-one pass protection, and there are going to be plays where he does get beat, or he does allow the pass rusher to squeeze Purdy in the pocket. I think the right guard, the rookie Pooney's, played very, very well for the most part, so that's not been, you know, a major issue. But, yeah, that's probably fair, but like I said, without knowing all the specific protection calls and how they block particular fronts and how they block particular pressures, it's you can't pinpoint one player or what the overall issue is.
It looks like Jake Brendel's had some problems as a center in pass protection. Is there anything you can do from an offensive standpoint to mitigate that when your center gets beat?
That depends on the front and the pressure. A lot of teams, you know, line up in five-man fronts where they want to dictate one-on-one, and your center, everybody all across the line has to block one-on-one. You know, teams, it depends on what they want to do with their blitz concepts. So, you know, all these things become specific to opponents, specific to particular schemes. And then, like I said, it's how you choose to protect it. And, you know, Chris Forster has been doing this a long time. He's one of the best in the business. He's been doing it over 30 years. So, you know, and sometimes guys get beat. You know, I mean, that happens in the NFL. Sometimes guys get beat.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, Greg, 4 years ago, D'Amino Lenore was a young player who was behind Ambry Thomas on the depth chart, and look at him now. They signed him to a big fancy extension. What have you seen on tape of his development from year over year the last few?
He's up to you guys' pay grade, huh?
Finally.
Yeah, getting closer.
Yeah. You know, he's become a really key player on their defense because of what he does. He plays outside in their base defense, and he plays slot in their nickel. And they're almost an exclusive nickel sub defense. They really don't play any dime. So he's a critical piece. And it's hard to find players who can do both those things, and you feel good about that. And they're not a heavy blitz team. In fact, they rush five or more, the lowest percentage of any team in the league. But there are times when they do use him as a blitzer from the slot, and he's very good at it. So he's just a really, really important player. A great example of a player that if you just look at the player, you're not going to sit here and say he's one of the three or four best corners in the league, but he's critical to what they do. And that's ultimately how teams think. It's how teams think when they go into a draft. They think, can we draft a player who's better than the player we have at that particular position? And he's a really good player in the context of their defense. So without him, they couldn't do a lot of the things that they do.
And would you add Renardo Green to that same conversation as far as the fit that he has been in his rookie year to a team that had to play without Mooney Ward this weekend?
Yeah, well, again, he hasn't played enough to say that he's a critical piece in that, you know, but as I've told you guys, I really liked his college tape. He played at Florida State, which in the 2 years he was there, they were a very heavy press man team. So that was his experience, and I loved him doing that. But he's shown the ability to play off coverage, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's Ward's contract status?
He's a free agent after this year and obviously going through an awful personal situation.
Yeah, I know. And again, you hate to talk about a guy when he's going through a personal situation, but they could very well let him walk, and Green and Lenore could become the outside corners in their base, and then we'll see what they would do in their nickel, because Lenore would still move inside, I assume, because he's so good at it. But Green, to me, is for sure going to be a starting corner for them next year. And he is right now, for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely. Ward, I think, is still tracking toward not coming back this weekend as he deals with his family situation.
Yeah, I know, that's horrible.
Brutal. Greg Cosell, NFL Films with us. Greg, let's talk about Nick Bosa for a second. He had a huge sack, and then there was the play that everybody talked about where Baker took him for a ride. But outside of that, I thought they largely locked him up more than normal, and I know he was playing hurt. What did you see in terms of Nick in this game versus what you normally see?
Well, first of all, you got to be careful, and I'm being honest with you guys, you got to be careful about doing this, because the Bucs gained 215 yards of offense. They averaged 3.7 yards per play.
Yep.
This was a dominant defensive performance overall. Mayfield completed 18 passes for 116 yards. You have to try to be that bad. So, you know, you have to be careful about pointing out one guy. You know, Bosa's not going to get five sacks every week. That doesn't happen. And, you know, and I'm being honest with you guys, so I hope you appreciate what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Nick Bosa is not a different player today than he was 2 weeks ago. So, you know, he's not going to have, you know, he had a big sack in the fourth quarter against the backup left tackle when he just basically just played off contact and beat him to the inside. And that turned out to be, you know, obviously a big sack. They went empty on that play on 3rd and 13, which kind of surprised me. I don't rip coaches, but I was surprised because that left Bosa one-on-one on the backup left tackle. So, you know, Bosa is just a really, really good player. If you were to, if we had an offensive lineman who, an offensive tackle who played against Bosa regularly on this call right now, they would rave about how difficult he is to block.
Oh, I'm telling
you,
yeah, Greg,
I'm telling you right now.
I challenge none of that. Here's what I'd say to me, he did not look like himself in this game.
Who do you look like?
A lesser pass rusher. So, somebody who just in school could largely stop on most plays.
Well, you also have to remember that there was a lot of quick game throws. You know, when the ball comes out quick,
sure,
pass rushers are not going to get there, and it just looks like there's no pass rush. I mean, they didn't throw the ball down the field hardly at all. In fact, the one time they really wanted to was the time that Green actually got beat on the out and up by Miller, and Collins was able to apply pressure on Mayfield, and he had a spin away, and he threw it late. You probably remember this play.
Yep.
And Green,
yep.
and Green was able to recover. But for the most part, everything was quick. They didn't throw the ball. And you know what that tells you? They were very worried about the pass rush, because if everything's going to be quick, they know that that takes care of the pass rush.
Yeah, and I had that as a 1st and 10, Greg, at the end of the third quarter with a great pass breakup. And also, according to my notes, they had no explosive plays, nothing that Tampa Bay netted 20 or more yards.
Right. So again, let's be careful, because you have to look at when you feel like there's not a great pass rush, okay? The first thing you want to think about is what does the pass game look like by the opponent? Because if everything is going to be quick and the ball's going to come out, you're not really going to get meaningful pressure. And that doesn't mean that the pass rushers are doing a lousy job.
Greg, how much of that also has to do with the fact that the Bucs' downfield threats are largely hurt?
Yeah, well, that you have to play to your talent. I mean, they're playing with Miller, who's a free agent out of Furman. They're playing with Rakeem Jarrett, who I believe was a free agent, but he's out of Maryland. I'm trying to remember who the third wideout was. You know, Otten in many ways is their number one target right now, and he's a tight end who's not really a three-level dimension. He's kind of a short to intermediate receiver.
Looking ahead now, as we always pivot with you, Greg, and we start to think about the next game, and it's now week 11 with Seattle up next on
big
the schedule
game, yeah.
At Santa Clara. What do you see from Seattle on film that might pose a threat to the Niner defense?
Well, Seattle's got good players. That's the thing there. The big issue for them has been O-line. This is a game where you would expect to see the 49ers D-line be a factor. Now, Seattle is aware that their O-line is bad, so obviously, they're going to try to mitigate against that. We'll see what they do. But their O-line has been a problem all season long. They've struggled at right guard. They drafted a kid from Connecticut named Christian Haynes, who has obviously not won the job because they're playing Bradford at right guard, and he's struggled for much of the season. The right tackle, I don't know if Abe Lucas is back this week coming off the bye. He's missed basically the whole season, and they've really struggled at right tackle. And even Charles Cross, a top 10 pick, he has not been as good as they hoped at left tackle. He's a good player. He's not, you know, he's not a stiff. But when you draft a guy in the top 10 at left tackle, you're expecting him in his third year to start being in that conversation of the top 3, 4, 5 left tackles in the league, particularly in pass protection. That's why you draft tackles in the top 10, pass protection. And he hasn't quite been at that level. So their O-line is their biggest concern, but they do have a lot of weapons. So can they beat you? You know, I assume Metcalf will be back coming off the bye week.
Yep.
So, you know, they can beat you because those, you know, Metcalf, Lockhart, and Smith-Njigba are really good players.
I look at this too, and I wonder what a deeper dive would do with regard to the play of Geno Smith. Like, Geno Smith and Brock Purdy are both in the top six in passing yards this year, yet they've both had their bye already. So their yardage per game, pretty high level stuff. But when you look deeper than just those simple numbers, what do you see from Geno Smith with regard to his effectiveness this year?
Well, Geno Smith, I think, if memory serves me correctly, has thrown more passes than any quarterback in the league, or he's right there. They have thrown the ball a ton.
Yeah.
You know, so
right now he's fourth, Greg, but again, he's at a bye, and the three
right. So he's and the three guys
game,
ahead of him.
Yes.
Yeah, the three per game he's thrown the
per
most.
Game.
He's had the most dropbacks.
Yeah.
He's had the most dropbacks per game because the guys ahead of him, my guess would be Burrow, probably Baker, probably Stroud, guys like that.
It's Burrow.
They play.
Yeah, Burrow, Rodgers, and Baker.
Okay, so they've played 10 games.
Yep.
So. You know, they've thrown the ball way too much. Now, they obviously feel they have to. There have been games, including the first 49er game, if you guys recall it, where they clearly made an early commitment to run the ball, and they could not run it at all against the 49ers. And they've tried that in a couple of games, and they've been unable to generate any sustainability with their run game. And, you know, offensive coaches, the way they think, if you're getting 2 yards running the ball, they can only take that for so long. You know, they start to think, well, I'm not going to bang my head against the wall and gain 2 yards. Let's start throwing it. So he's throwing the ball an awful lot. And because of their O-line, there's been some tough going at times. Because even though Geno's not a statue, he's basically a pocket quarterback at his core. That's what he is. So you don't want him having to run around and try to be improvisational. So they've struggled at times, and he's struggled at times. I mean, the numbers are still pretty good, although he's thrown probably a few more interceptions than they would like.
Leads the league. He's tied for the league lead in interceptions.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and he hasn't thrown as many touchdowns, I'm sure, as we've seen in the last couple of years. You know, I think that that's been their big problem. When you have to throw that much, your O-line, you know, no offensive lineman wants to be in that reactive pass protection mode for an entire game, and that's hard.
Yeah, it's much better for an offensive lineman to go forward than to go backward.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about this Niner offense now, Greg, when you've got CMC back and you've got Ricky Pearsall getting comfortable. How much more of a threat are they against Seattle in this matchup?
Well, I think, look, Kyle Shanahan obviously is going to tweak certain things depending on the opponent. He's, you know, he knows Mike McDonald well, I'm sure, because they played, you know, Baltimore last year, and coaches tend to coach against coaches more than they coach against personnel, unless there's a great player that you've got to deal with, and they don't really have that guy. So he's going to coach more against what he believes Mike McDonald's schemes will be. You know, but I think the Niners, for the most part, kind of do what they do. Like I said, there's always going to be tweaks depending on who the opponent is. But, you know, they kind of do what they, you know, we talked about the Pearsall play. That's what the foundation of their offense is. If I'm not mistaken, Tom Brady did that game this past week.
That's correct.
And he talked a lot during the game. And, you know, he obviously knows a little bit about the pass game. And he was just talking about the foundation of their pass game numerous times during the telecast is between the numbers. And I've said that to you guys. That's their pass game. That's the way they play. That's not going to dramatically change. That doesn't mean every single throw is between the numbers, but that's what they're going to do. That's the way they work their pass game. And by the way, they've got major issues at linebacker. It's funny because they just cut Terrell Dotson. He was their leading tackler, but I had a great conversation with Hugh Millen last week, and you guys probably know Hugh Millen.
Yeah,
of course.
And he, you know, we were talking about the fact that Dotson, despite that, the tape is not very good at all. And then 3 days later or 4 days later, they cut him. So, you know, the tape doesn't lie. You can see stuff on tape. So they've got major issues at linebacker.
Hey, Greg, real quick, just thinking about the weather this weekend, there's a little bit of a chance of rain. And I know it's hard for you to look at tape and tell this, but there's this idea from 49er fans that Brock Purdy struggles with a wet football. I'm thinking of Cleveland last year. I'm thinking of the playoff game against Green Bay.
Yeah.
In your film study, is that something that you've noticed that he struggles when there's weather?
You know, that's a hard thing for me to answer. I mean, you know, that's a personal thing for a quarterback. You know, it's probably more mental than anything for a quarterback. You know, it becomes physical, obviously, but maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know if the sample size is large enough. Like, I don't know if he struggled in those two games. I remember the Cleveland game very well, which they should have won with the missed field goal at the end, and he had the great drive, you know, to get to that situation. You know, he's made some really good throws in that game. So I can't answer that, because you don't want to get caught up in the idea that when he makes a bad, you know, the weather bothers him. But then what happens when he makes a great throw? Did the weather just not bother him throw?
Then it doesn't bother him, exactly.
Right, you can't get caught up. So I don't know. Only he can answer that. You know, I know Troy Aikman always talked for years about how he hated rain, and, you know, some quarterbacks, I'm sure, are like that. I don't know if that's true with Brock.
Greg, can't wait to break this one down with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, there it is. Greg Cosell,
yep.
NFL Films.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.